Time now for your comments. In an interview about Sharbat Gula, the Afghan girl whose picture was on one of the most famous National Geographic covers, Alex Chadwick asked photographer Steve McCurry if a retinal scan had been used to identify his subject years after the picture had been taken. It was actually an iris scan that the FBI used, matching the original picture taken in 1985 with an image of her iris today. Another Afghan story on the ancient sport of buzkashi made Elizabeth Volkman of Norwalk, Connecticut, turn her radio off. She wrote, "Stories that offer us a connection with the Afghanistan people would be much more welcome than description of a sport that makes us wince and then literally turn off the information." Judy Ross of Manhattan wrote, "The report on buzkashi, where teams battle over a calf carcass, sounded pretty gruesome to me. Then I realized most of our American sports involve teams battling over a leather ball. A few steps removed, perhaps, but still essentially a calf carcass." Here's Jerry Azevedo of Friday Harbor, Washington, on another member of the animal kingdom. "Did anyone else feel melancholic after listening to Christopher Joyce's Radio Expeditions report on the search for the ivory-billed woodpecker? The faint double knock in the deep woods and the frantic raps of the scientists' answer seemed like a cruel joke. Knock, knock. Who's there? No one. Why is it that we humans value most what we've already lost?" Jeff Brady of Oregon Public Broadcasting did a story this week about a petition drive to get Raggedy Ann into the National Toy Hall of Fame in Salem, Oregon. Yesterday, the Hall of Fame announced that the ragdoll will have a place there after all. And on Will Murphy's story about the controversial mural done by Thomas Hart Benton at Indiana University, the school's chancellor has decided to leave the mural in place despite the protests of Indiana's Black Student Union. But the school will make efforts to recruit more diverse faculty. It also will set up a foundation account to pay for what it calls multicultural art. On my interview with Miles Hoffman about the life and music of Johann Sebastian Bach, Robert Isakson wrote from Brainerd, New York, that Hoffman indicated early in the conversation that Bach was a very good Lutheran, but he seems not to understand that Lutheran theology takes very seriously that we are at the very same time sacred and secular beings, saints and sinners, rich with talent and yet helpless beggars. Yes, it is possible to be a spiritual man and the father of 20 children. Through his faith, Bach was an integrated man. His music is integrated as well. Whether the piece is sacred or secular, each composition is signed to God alone the glory. Send your comments to morning@npr.org or call the listener comment line at 202-842-5044. Please say where you live and how to pronounce your name.